Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
What's going on, Millionaire Mindcast fam? I got a great guest for you guys today in Mr. David Wood. He is a focus expert. And knowing that many of you, like me, we're high achievers, we're elite performers, we're always thinking bigger and bigger and chasing goals that are bigger and bigger. Oftentimes, right, that can lead to distraction, that can lead to unproductivity. As visionaries, many of us don't have problems with taking action and setting big goals and milestones for ourselves, but purposeful and pointed and intentional action can be a challenge for a lot of elite performers. And so we really talked about some amazing things today that are going to help you stay more focused, that are going to help you stay more aware of when you're in productivity, in flow state, out of flow state. But ultimately, right, as individuals who really want to get the most out of life, that can be also our Achilles heel. So he created some really great frameworks and strategies and tactics that I know you're going to be able to pull out and experiment with your own productivity journey in terms of creating more focus. Because at the end of the day, when, I don't know about you, I'm more focused and I'm more productive, I feel better about myself, I actually get better results. And we talked about some stuff in today's episode in terms of the CEO dates and co-working and really building frameworks in terms of straining your time and allocating it accordingly and very intentionally in ways that I haven't heard it been put into a discussion before. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy this interview with Mr. David Wood. Know that everything we talked about in the show will have all of the links, all of the resources at millionairemindcast.com for David's episode. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can always just check those out in the show description below. And don't forget, shoot me a text, say what up, 844-447-1555 if you're new to the show and you haven't said hello. And all I ask is that if you've been listening to the show or you're new to the show and you enjoy anything that we talk about, just share it with a friend. Help us spread these resources, this message to more people to help them get more of an impact on their wealth building journey. And if you have 1 minute to share your appreciation for anything that we put out on the podcast, it is always greatly appreciated. If you leave a review on whatever podcasting platform you enjoy listening to this content on, or you head over to YouTube and you like the YouTube channel, you subscribe to the YouTube channel, we always love and appreciate all of our Millionaire Mindcast family supporting the show. With that being said, we will jump into today's episode with Mr. David Wood. Definitely get your pen handy because we're going to have a lot of things that you're going to want to write down. I took a ton of notes myself, and he also has a free focus checklist that I think you'll want to check out as well. And that link will be in the show notes, and he'll mention that in the interview as well. Without any further ado, let's dig into today's episode right after this quick message from today's show sponsor.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process. And in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
Well, I'm excited to welcome into the show Mr. David Wood. How are we doing, brother?
I'm good, man. And I'm better after meeting you.
Well, you know what? That's a good way to start my day. You're one of my first, I batch record a lot of my episodes in one day, partly to keep my train of focus in one lane, right? And I know we're going to be digging into that today. But for those that maybe don't know a little bit about you and Focus.CEO and your brand and kind of how you have really fallen into this niche of helping people kind of take this, you know, metaphorically, you know, 5-lane freeway down into one fast lane in terms of productivity and focus. How did you get into the space of helping people, you know, achieve more and be more through productivity and focus?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I've always been fascinated by games. I've been fascinated by systems and games and like, how do they work? How do you get there? Like if you're at the airport and there's a massive queue, I'm always looking to see, oh, look, there are two queues that form into one right at the end. So it's basically going to take twice as long as this other queue that isn't merging with another one. I've always been interested in that. And I started life as an actuary, which for people who don't know what that is, it's heavy numbers, statistics, probability. They'll calculate insurance premiums for insurance companies looking 100 years into the future. So that's what I did for my life, and or at least the first half. And I got really good at systems, and I was consulting to Sony Music and Ford and Exxon from an office on Park Avenue at the age of 24. So that was my life. But then I discovered there's a whole other side of life. There's a whole other game, which is the actual game of life. And so I've spent the last 25 years studying vulnerability and emotional intimacy and leadership and all the things that I didn't learn as I was studying systems and numbers. So I'm a bit of a unique coach in that I won't help you just make more money. We'll start there because money's great. More money's better than less money. But then I'm interested in what about your time off? How about we double that? And then how are you showing up in the world as a partner, as a parent, as a human, as a friend? So if people come to me, I deal with the whole person. Let's not just work on money. And productivity and focus seems to be a huge part of that for entrepreneurs. We've got shiny object syndrome, and the human mind is like a monkey on crack. So I find focus a really fun topic. Like, let's work out what you really care about, and then how will you stay on track over the next 12 months so that you feel like a rock star at the end of every day and at the end of the year.
Yeah, I love the holistic approach, right? Because you know, the narrative, at least for a lot of people, and I think this conversation has been changing and evolving more in recent years than, let's say, in the past. But kind of this, you know, emotional awakening for a lot of people, realizing that, yes, money, of course, being a very important piece of unlocking and enjoying certain aspects of life, but that it's not everything and it's not most important. And now it's almost this holistic, kind of all-inclusive approach. A lot of the things that we talk about on the show is, yeah, we want to be intentional. We want to make money. We want to, you know, use it purposefully. But at the same time, right, if it's at the expense of, let's say, being bankrupt in your health or in your relationships or as a leader with your family or with your kids or your employees, right, it's really not doing what it was meant to do or could do. And so, where do people start, in your opinion, and what mistakes do you see them making that they might be able to reflect on a little bit in terms of creating some more awareness at the beginning of this journey for themselves?
Sure. And I want to double click first on what you just said about the whole person. And like I've, as an example, there's one client that I helped her to double revenue in the first month, right? That's where we want to start. But that wasn't, I don't think that that's what actually provided the most value for her. It's when she doesn't know how to talk to her kids about COVID because the kids want to go out and, you know, they're 17 and 18 and she's got to explain why she's imposing her will on them and they can't go and hang out at a party without a mask. Like some of those things are what keep her up at night. Dealing with difficult vendors, having those conversations, it's the human connection and the relationships. I've got another client who just got diagnosed with cancer. We didn't that's not what she came to me for. She came to me to help the business grow, and we've been doing that. But it's such a privilege for me when we get to go into, let's go beyond that. But to your question, well, some of the mistakes we make, well, firstly, I think by nature, the mind is quite scattered in our society. So you've just got to sit down and meditate. If you know, if you're listening, if you've meditated, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never tried meditation, just sit down for 5 minutes with your eyes closed and count your breaths and see how long you get before the mind is off somewhere. You know, you might get to like 8, or if you're really lucky, 20 breaths. And then you go, oh, wait a minute, where was I? The last 3 minutes I've been thinking about my feet and how my right foot is sore, or I've been thinking about this work project. That's how we are at work. So I've identified there are two areas where we're scattered, on the macro and on the micro. On the macro, what are your goals for 12 months? One of my clients said to me, I think I have too many goals. She had about 22 goals. I said, yeah, that's what the monkey mind tries to do. You're not going to be able to achieve 22 goals, most likely, and you'll feel scattered and it'll be unproductive. So how about you pick three that you really care about? The ones that if that's all you got, that's what you'd be happy with. The rest we'll call bonus. And she's like, okay, all right, that's how we do it. So that's one way we focus at the macro level. And then we need to layer those goals, because you set goals 12 months out. That's like pie in the sky. That doesn't exist. It's so far in the future. So we got to bring it back. Have your 8-week goals and then have 7-day goals every single week. Reset those. And then as we come back towards the micro, we're not there yet. As we come back, what are you going to do tomorrow? I want you to wake up knowing what's important. Because when you wake up, the monkey mind will come in. It'll want to do 100 things. So just the day before, maybe 4 o'clock in the afternoon, pick 2 things that if that's all you did, just like I said to Laura, pick the things that matter, then you have a bonus list. The 2 things that will move the needle in your life and business, and wake up knowing that's what you'll do. Now we get to the micro. When you wake up, can you do those 2 things? It's hard. You wake up and you're like, well, my kid needs this and my dog needs to go to pee. And all right, so you do your morning routine, that's fine. But then for work, are you checking messages? If you check your email, you're gone for the next hour. And it's just like the meditation. Oh, wait a minute. Here I am responding to this free offer on email or pinging back to Bill, and I've got my 2 post-it notes right here with the 2 things that are most important. Look what I'm doing. David, step away from the task. Get back towards your 2 needle movers, the 2 post-it notes. It's incredible watching the monkey mind at work.
Yeah. So how does someone, you know, obviously I always believe it's a big part of it is awareness, right? You can't necessarily take pointed and purposeful action if you're not aware of maybe where the gaps are or what you're actually, like you said, moving the needle forward on. So that first domino is really clarity, like you said. And I'm curious in terms of, you know, morning routine. Is it better to get, in your opinion, your day set up the evening prior in your evening routine? Or is that something people can do in their morning routine? Or what are your thoughts around creating, using that time to create clarity so you can get in the trenches and execute when it's time?
Yeah, I think it's a really smart question. I bet you've had this experience, and know I have, where there's something important that we're going to do and we've psyched ourselves up and then we're ready to do it. And then the desk isn't really set up. I got to tidy all that up. And then I don't have the paperwork that I need for this. I'm not quite ready. And you spend the first hour or two in setup, and it's really annoying. Don't do that to yourself. Do that the day before, because that's really easy to do at the end of the day when you're burned out, you got no willpower, you might be a little bit tired. That's easy to do. All right, I'll set up for tomorrow. Now, there are some things that you might have to do to be ready. You might have to stretch your body. That might be powerful for you for a morning routine. you might want to get your cup of tea, which I have right now, as a ritual. Get the cup of tea. I've got to let the dog out to pee. But, you know, maybe grab my green smoothie as well. Those are easy things to do in the morning. Some people like to dance or do yoga or go for a walk. I respect that, as long as it's not distracting you from what you need to do as part of a regular morning routine and you're not just going off on a tangent. Set what it is, set a time for it. It's a really good idea. You constrain your resource of time, you can get amazing things done. If you don't constrain the resource, the brain knows, I don't have to really show up right now. I can just play around. Now, I want to come back to your point about awareness. You're so right. When I first started co-working, which is a great way to build your awareness about the monkey mind, we'd set at the top of the hour, okay, this is what we'll do. This is what you'll do. This is what I'll do. It might be on Zoom. And then turn off Zoom, we get to work, and I know in 60 minutes, I've got a report to my co-working colleague if I did it. Now, I was fascinated to find I'm off doing other things. And I'm like, wait a minute. You said you'd do this. You're going to get to the top of the hour. You'll have to report that you didn't. So it built my awareness. I'm like, wow, it's really hard for me to, and I don't have ADD to my knowledge, but it's just really hard for me to stay on track. So by constraining your time, that's one way to build awareness, and having someone else that you will report to in an hour or 2 hours, that will also build your awareness. You show up 3 or 4 times and say, wow, I didn't do it. You know, the embarrassment alone can help you stay on track. And then, Matt, I like to constrain it even further. Let's suppose I've got a 2-hour sprint. And by that, I mean you've blocked off time in your calendar with no distractions where you will just focus. This is a game changer if you don't do this in your life and your work. But even 2 hours is too long. I set a timer for 25 minutes, so I'll get 4 mini sprints within that 2 hours. 25 minutes, you write down your goal, game on. Now let's see if you can actually stay focused just for 25 minutes. It's easier than staying focused for 2 hours. And then I have 4 goals for those 4 mini sprints. And I know if I'm behind on the first one, I'll be behind on the second one. So that's another way that you can gamify it and actually do what matters to you in your business, so you can feel like a rock star at the end of the day.
I love that. I like the word. And I think all people do nowadays, right, is finding ways to gamify things, almost like a progress bar, right? We are built to want to make progress. And so using some frameworks like that can be really productive. And I like the fact that you talked about in terms of, you know, building kind of bumpers around. The thought that's coming to my mind is, you know, a bowling lane, right? And when you're bowling, you want to knock down pins. You don't want to be bowling gutter balls. And so having some of these frameworks can be what, you know, keeps you bowling. You're maybe not going to bowl strikes every time, but you're putting frameworks around you that, one, create more awareness. And I really love the co-working idea, right? Finding somebody, whether that's in your office or that's, you know, a fellow entrepreneur or a friend or somebody, right, that is, you know, moving towards a goal and wants this other word that comes to mind is accountability, right? And I think, yeah, you know, when we have accountability beyond ourselves and we're, you know, we have and have given somebody else permission to kind of hold our feet to the fire, right? There's another layer that goes into this, one, awareness, and two, performance. And that is something that I haven't really heard too many people talk about in terms of, you know, inviting somebody else into their world and vice versa, and using that co-accountability to, you know, create more productive results on things that you're working through.
Yeah, it's amazing. And there's a very inexpensive group run by a colleague of mine, Megan Taylor Morrison. So if you Google that, Megan Taylor Morrison and co-working, you'll find her group. It's so cool. You just see it in the calendar. You know, you add it to your calendar. You know when it is. You show up. Everyone reports, this is what I'll do for the next 2 hours. And then we come back at 2 hours and we report what we did. Sometimes they even say, how do you want to be during these 2 hours? What are you going to bring to it? And so we try and bring maybe some lightness or service or joy or fun or playfulness or mischief to the 2 hours. It's a great way to enjoy
that.
To enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah, creating a little bit more of an intention behind not just, you know, pumping out results, right?
Right.
Kind of being do you want to be as you are working towards those goals, which I think is something really important to, you know, think about in terms of it's not just outcome driven, but it's also inner, you know, focus in terms of how you need to show up in order to get those results.
Agreed.
That's amazing, man. Very cool. I haven't heard too many. And what was the name of that group again? We'll be sure to, for those listening, link that up in the show notes.
The person who runs it is Megan Taylor Morrison. And she's got a website, Megan Taylor Morrison. I think it's two R's and two S's, but she's not hard to find, .com. And she's got a great co-working group.
Very cool. I love it.
And I want to, look, I just realized we talk about the content and I enjoy that. But I just want to drive home why we would care. Like, why is it worth boosting your productivity so much? And by the way, I know we're firing out a lot of tips here. We'll give away, I've got a cheat sheet with a checklist of all these tips.
Oh, cool.
So you don't have to write them all down, listeners. But we're leaving money on the table and we're working harder than we need to be. Now, if it's entertaining for you, and I don't mean this facetiously, if it's entertaining for you and you're enjoying it, and you don't really need the money, then fine. Wake up, check email. Like, that's a great way to be. And sometimes I do that. But if you really do want your business to be better, you want more time off to be with the kids or write a book or go to Nepal or whatever it is, then let's build our awareness. Let's work out where the monkey mind is taking us off track at the macro level with our goals. And where the monkey mind wants to take us off track day to day, so we can be disciplined as if it was a working meditation, you're going to thank me for it. Why work 50, 60 hours a week or even 40 when for 20 hours a week, you could get the same work done or even more work done? Let's get focused.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's obviously an opportunity cost on distraction, right? If you think about what it takes away from your family or from your ability to go and do physical activities in your health or make more money or have a greater impact. First and foremost, what are, in terms of talking about awareness, some of the biggest distractions and things that you see people being pulled away from kind of their flow state, their productivity state?
Yeah. Oh man, it's so easy to answer that. Being on your computer, there's a message, right? You've got mail. Bad idea. Even if you don't go and check it, just the fact that happened has taken your focus for a little bit. And they've done studies that show that your IQ drops for 15 minutes, your IQ will drop a little bit. If you glance at a text message, you don't even respond to it. So things on your computer, the phone, have it on airplane mode when you're doing a sprint. You don't want any messages. Sometimes you got the phone sitting there, your eyes will see that there's a little bit of a message. Like, I was just coding yesterday and I just, phone lit up, got brighter. I'm like, I don't want that, you know, not while we're doing a sprint.
Right.
Kid knocking at the door, husband, wife. Put a sign on the door, right? These are some examples. And I want to make the point, Matt, we all have the ability to be super focused. I bet you've all had moments in our life. One moment for me, I decided to learn to paraglide in Bali and I was 300 feet above the ocean and suddenly found myself in free fall, plummeting towards the earth. I had a full collapse of the glider. Now, people tell me to this day, and I know I can vaguely remember the instructor yelling in my ear instructions. I don't remember what they were, and I don't remember if I did them, but I was hyper-focused as I'm plummeting towards the earth, about to die, and at 80 feet from the ocean, I reinflated the wing and got control of it. Now I'm heading towards a cliff, so I had to handle that, but talk about, you're like, there's no extraneous thought. right? We have the ability in emergencies. Another example, I was in an armed holdup, and I'm at the counter at the Department of Motor Vehicles, and a guy comes through in a ski mask and jumps the counter. Now, everyone else in their office stood still. Something in my brain went, see ya, and I went straight for the door. Now, second guy came through the door with a gun, grabbed me and said, you're not going anywhere. But I was hyper-focused. Some people were on the floor, crying. Some people got their arms in the air, and he's screaming at them, get your arms down, get up off the floor, face the wall. I'm like, arms down, face the wall, don't get on the floor. All right, I got this. We have the ability to do it, but when we don't constrain our time, monkey mind.
Right.
Monkey mind. So let's constrain our time. Let's play some games. Let's do some sprints every single day and just set a goal and then nail it. Now, I know that sounds really easy and you will go off track, but you get back on the horse and it's a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key to hyper productivity and, you know, real elite performers and finding flow state always starts with awareness. And, you know, I always think of how do I build bunkers around my states of productivity, right?
Ooh,
and when
yeah.
I am, you know, because when I pull my head out of that bunker is when I get sniped by Facebook or Instagram, or I get sniped by somebody who wants to sit down and pick my brain for a second, or I get, right? And so
right.
How often are you getting sniped out of your states of productivity?
Nice.
And when you think about going to war and winning these battles of productivity, you really have to build a bunker around your time. And it often starts with environment. It starts with thinking about the things that are pulling you out of those states of productivity and really just being more proactive in setting up an ideal and kind of congruent environment and ecosystem where, you know, like you said, you can be extremely productive in and minimize those distractions, whether it's taking the notifications off of your phone or off of your email or whatever it may be, right? But you think about, I look at, man, I didn't get, you know, the days that I didn't feel like I got a lot done, right? It was always when I was on my heels in states of reactiveness instead of really being proactive in protecting my environment, protecting my mind, protecting myself from those distractions. So I love that you brought that up, and I would encourage everybody to think about, what are your environments that you often need to be productive in, and how are you setting those environments up for success? Right?
I love that. God, you got to be vigilant.
Yes.
We really need to be vigilant. And again, we need to be vigilant at the macro level when your brain's trying to bring in 10 other goals, and we need some discipline. And then again, at the micro, all right, I've sat down, I've got my sprint, I've got my goal, I'm bunkering my productivity, as you would say, and now just work on that goal.
Yeah.
And that actually, Matt, I find that can be, it can be a fun state, it can be a motivated, it can be a really up state. And I've also found it can be a very peaceful state. There
yes.
was a time when I was writing my book, my first book, Get Paid for Who You Are, and it just wasn't really happening. And I felt it some tension in my body. I wasn't quite aware of it, but I was stressed. And I think the reason is I was out of integrity. What my brain wanted to work on was the book. It said, this is the most important thing you can do right now, and we want to get this done. And yet here I am doing all these other things. That's out of integrity. That creates stress. So I decided, you know what, for 30 days, and this is an extreme version of this, you don't have to go this far, of course, but this is an extreme version. For 30 days, I won't touch anything that's not book before 4 p.m. Until 4 p.m., 30 days, this is what I do. I even went further and I said, I had a roommate at the time, I said, I will not speak unless it's a conversation with someone about the book, but I will not speak until 4 p.m. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I was at such peace because I just knew I was working on what was most important.
Yeah.
And that's a really good feeling. And what's weird about it is that for so many years, I didn't have that feeling, right? I just keep on trying to do too many things, and that's what creates stress. And then we need alcohol and other things to try and medicate. This is one way we can have some integrity. Now, you might not go that far, and you might not have the capacity to go that extreme because you've got some other things you got to do, but you can do it for 2 hours. You can definitely do it for 2 hours several times a week, where you have that kind of focus on what it is that you want to achieve.
I like that you brought that up, though, because I'm a pretty extreme guy, right? Usually when I go all in on something, I go all in on it. And I know there have been seasons in my life where I've been out of congruency in terms of what I'm saying and what I'm doing, right? My audio and my video don't match up. And so when you talked about being out of integrity and what that kind of creates in terms of self-talk and distraction and shame and frustration and ultimately leads to unproductivity, right? And so I love that you talked about, is it extreme, right? Is it really that extreme if what you're saying in terms of the outcome and the result you desire is really what you needed to align your environment, your actions, your calendar with, and you got the result done, right? And so I just think about in terms of and kind of encourage other people, and I'm, you know, thinking about this in terms of myself as well, always, how bad do you really want the outcome, and what extremes are you willing to go to in order to achieve them?
Oh, that's a good point, Matt. What I like, what you did there that I like is, I think you pointed out that for some people, it might seem like an extreme thing to block off 2 hours or say a day. So having 30 days where you have hyper-focus until 4 p.m. every day, I would call that an extreme. But you might have to do what seems extreme to you to change your habits. In fact, that's always the case, right? If they were easy to change, they wouldn't be called habits.
Yep.
They'd be called something else. So if we want to train the brain to focus, it might seem extreme. So I recommend pause the recording right now, listening to this podcast, pause it and go and book some sprints in your calendar, blocks of 2 hours. And then also I recommend a weekly CEO date with yourself.
Friday, tell me more about that.
Friday, 4 o'clock. Well, Harry, it's one thing to set your 12-month goals and your 8-week goals and your 7-day goals. But what are you going to do in 7 days? You won't have 7-day goals again. And now you go back to monkey mind. So we need one date a week where we can just reset those 7-day goals. And I only 20 minutes. That's all I'm saying. So say 5 o'clock on a Friday, or it could be 4 o'clock on a Sunday. Put that in your calendar for 20 minutes where you look back and celebrate what you did. Too many of us, including me, forget to do that. And I promise you achieve 10 times more than you can remember. So look back and celebrate. Say, this is what I did. And then look forward to your 8-week goals and say, what will I choose to care about for the next 7 days? Throw those post-its up on your board or whatever system you do. And then what do I choose not to care about for the next 7 days is equally important. These will not make it into my week. That's where the discipline comes in.
Yeah.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
So yeah, CEO date and those sprints, book those right now, and then we'll still be here when you come back and start the recording again.
I love that. No, that's, I always think about, you know, for me personally, because got so many different things going on, as does everybody, right? We all are busy. We got hooks in us, pulling us in so many different directions. How important it is to find that time for yourself, for the recharge, for the celebration, for the planning, for the clarity, for the intention, whatever it is for you, right? But, you know, building in, I use the word bunker a lot because I think that when I try and be somewhere, not just in my physical presence, but my mental and emotional presence as well, building those bunkers around that time. And there are those times where you got to be selfish and you got to carve out that alone time. One of my goals every single week is, in part in terms of my habits, is I have what I call a self date. You know, every single week I carve out an hour of time to just serve me, focus on what I want to focus on, enjoy what I want to enjoy. And man, is that refreshing for one, and two, right? It kind of realigns and centers me and has me kind of showing back up to make sure my cup is full so that when it is time to start pouring everything else into other people's cups or into other projects or other commitments, that, you know, I've given myself that replenishment that is needed. And that really does help me in terms of my focus and my productivity when I'm going and giving myself into those other spaces or to those other people.
Wow. I love that, because what I just realized is we need to focus also on our replenishment time, on our nurturing time.
Absolutely.
I'll finish work. I think I finish work, or I say, I really should finish work, and I'm still going. It might only be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but my brain's kind of tired and I'm a bit worn down. And here I am still checking email, still checking messages, trying to just do a few more things. And what this is, again, where the CEO can come in and say, hey, that's enough. You know, we need to parent ourselves, really, and say, that's right. Enough. Step away from that. Go and get on the Pilates ball. Or go and have a shower, or get outside with your dog. We need to focus. Otherwise, you know, during work time, we're trying to play a little bit or replenish ourselves, perhaps, and we're not working fully. And then when we're on rest time, we're still doing a little bit of work. We're not really doing either. So let's work when we're working really well, and then let's rest when we're resting really well.
Yeah, I love that. CEO for me oftentimes stands for a chief energy officer. I think it's a superpower every single one of us have, but 99% of the planet are walking around life and, you know, their daily activities at 20% of power left, right? So it's thinking about how you can become an energy center or an energy plant for yourself. So that way, when you're out there charging other activities or people or things or environments, right? You are still giving yourself those time blocks for, you know, replenishing your energy, right? Because everybody wants to give the best of them to everything that they're doing, right? That's usually the intention. Now, does that actually happen? No. And it's oftentimes because people aren't, right, giving themselves that space, that time, that energy to recharge themselves. So I just love that you brought that up, because I think it's an important thing, especially in this world of the monkey mind, right? Or just having tons of distractions, shiny object syndrome. You know, it can be very depleting. So making sure that you're building that back into your time, because, you know, when I think about the people who have the most extraordinary lives or results or outcomes that, you know, often many of us, right, admire, we look at, you know, some public figure or celebrity or a politician or whoever it may be, right, that you kind of look up to, you know, these individuals, they're the same as you and I, but they're leading and living those extraordinary lives because they're committed to doing the extraordinary things consistently day in and day out, right? And so I just love that you brought up some really tactical things that people can take and implement. And the part of, you know, what's fun about life in general is that you get to experiment, right? It's not a one size fits all. So what might work for this person may not work for you, but, you know, take some of these things that David is sharing with you and pull them into your life and figure out through implementation and through tweaking and optimizing over time what actually works for you, right?
Yes. And use the checklist. We'll give it to you soon. And like it's, you might go through it and go, I got the first four handled, but the other six I haven't done yet. And one of my clients said to me something that I thought was brilliant. He said, what I want you to help me with is to incrementally improve my routines. Mm. So that 6 months from now, I have much different routines. I have the routines of winners. And I thought, what a smart way to look at it. I'm not going to do it all overnight, but I'm going to have better routines, which will have me show up as a more successful business owner, parent, partner, and human. That struck me as very smart.
I love that. And guys, we'll include David's checklist at millionairemindcast.com in the show notes for this episode. Be sure to check that out. You know, as we kind of come to the end of this episode, David, and wrap up, you know, I know that you are someone that has done a ton of research and teaches and coaches around courage. And I've seen and heard you talk about 30% more daring, being more daring, being more courageous in life. And we've got a lot of big thinkers, big action takers in terms of our Millionaire Mindcast family who listen to this show, always looking and striving to kind of unlock that next level. I'm curious on why 30%? What is it about that number, or how do you kind of talk and explain and break down to people the importance of being more daring, more courageous in their daily lives and in maybe in their business?
Yeah, well, I'll take those in reverse order. So why is courage important? Well, I found in my life that when I didn't do something because it was uncomfortable or because of fear, I felt bad about myself. Mm. That's for me, right? That may not be for everybody, but it seems to be for a lot of my clients. You feel a bit smaller. You don't feel proud of yourself that you walked away from something. And then you stay with those boundaries. Like whatever those boundaries are for you, like the Truman Show, where he's actually got literal walls on his world. The people have seen that. Well, we have that too. And every time we face a fear, then we push back those boundaries a little bit, like just like a child. You know, when a child is afraid of the water, but you encourage that child to get in the water, and then it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is fun. I can't believe I haven't been doing this all this time. It's like that with ourselves. So I like to give macro examples and micro examples as well. The macro, one thing that was very scary for me was when I started being an entertainer and I decided I wanted to play guitar and pubs and parties and things like that. I went and auditioned for our national gong show in Australia, thinking that'll give me good publicity. Well, unfortunately, I was successful. And they took me out of 300 people. They said, we want you in 2 weeks. Now I'm flying to Melbourne, and I'm not a good singer, and I'm not really used to entertaining. And here I am dressed in a kilt, going to play 500 miles by the Proclaimers in a terrible Scottish accent. That was my shtick. Back then, that was one of the things I did as an entertainer. And I'm there in the green room, and I can't explain to you the terror, but you might get it a bit more when I say I lost bladder control for about half a second, and three drops came out, and I'm in the green room wearing a kilt about to walk on national television. And do you think that had me more calm? Once I started thinking about possibly losing bladder control, or less calm. So that's a macro example of the terror. Now, I had an overnight bag, so I went and put on two extra pairs of underpants in the vain hope that that might save me. And it's a true story. And then I walked on stage and I did it. Now, it was terrifying. It wasn't a lot of fun doing it, but afterwards I felt great about myself and I got publicity from my business and I got to push back a boundary. Now getting on stage in front of people, generally just to talk, is a lot less scary than being on national television about to perform a song. But I think it's important to talk about the micro level because people might be like, well, I'm never going on national TV in a kilt. I'm not going to do that. But just yesterday, I had my assistant over. My personal assistant was here and she's cleaning the house and she's making some food for me and whatever. And I'm in the bedroom and I'm getting stressed out because she sounds like a bull in a china shop. For me, my nervous system's pretty sensitive. So every time she's shutting a drawer or clunking this or pounding around the floor, I'm just getting stressed and I'm considering asking her if she could be a little more gentle and realizing, and now my brain's like, oh, you're going to make her uncomfortable and she's going to be walking on eggshells and maybe she'll ultimately quit. Like all this stuff's going on. I had to face that fear. Well, no, I didn't. I didn't have to face that fear. I could have just stayed stressed and not said anything. And I know a lot of people who would often do that. I just got out there and I found a nice way to say, hey. In fact, I literally said, I was in my room trying to find a nice way to say, if you could be a little more gentle out here, I'd love it. Don't walk on eggshells, just do your thing, but just know that there's an impact and the sound carries. And it was fine, right? It's usually much bigger in our head. Mm-hmm. So I'm a fan of identifying what we're afraid of and at least naming it. Which ties into, I told you earlier, before we started recording, I'm writing a book called Name That Mouse. That's a mouse. It's not an elephant in the room. It's just a mouse in the room. Name it to yourself. Okay, I have that. And then you could go out and name it with somebody else. Now, why 30%? Because I don't think it's constructive for most people to suddenly confront all of their fears at once. Right? That can be too much. We go too much, and I've done that in my life. I've gone too far, and sometimes we need to be nice to ourselves. So I just say 30% is a number most of us can get our head around. All right, I want to stretch myself. I had one guy on a men's group that I'm part of. He was getting coached by another man, and the guy said, look, just lean into it 2%. And lean into this fear 2%. And the guy went, is that all you think of me? That's what I can do? Come on. At least I could do 3 or 4. Just pick a number for you. What would be a stretch for you today? What's something you can write it down? Let's say with your business, if you own a business or your career, what would make a difference that I might be a little scared of? It might be approaching a celebrity for an endorsement. I was pretty scared approaching Richard Branson and Jack Canfield to write the foreword to my book. That was terrifying, right? But I did it. Now I feel good about myself, even though I got a no from Richard Branson. Then I got a yes from Jack Canfield, right? So write down, if I was fearless, what would I do this week? It's just a great question. And then you can decide if you want to do that or not. But at least you can name it. All right, I'm a bit chicken when it comes to this. I'm a bit chicken to call 10 people and ask them to sign up for my product or service. I'm a bit chicken to reach out to these 3 celebrities. I've been chicken for a few years to reach out to Alan Alda from MASH to see if I could be on his show. Finally did it last week. And even then, I had to get a bit of help from my assistant to do it because I get nervous. But, you know, you go and do these things, and some times people say, how did you do that? Like, how did you get Jack Canfield to speak at your event? His friends were asking me, how did you get it? I said, I asked him.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, you think about in everyday life, right? Nobody's exempt from fear. What I have learned and seen in people I admire who have done things that people would probably be scared of, and I think we all have some scenario or circumstance in our life that we were scared of, is at some point in time when it was, you know, time to lean in or lay down, this narrative changed in your head that gave you the confidence to just move through it. And as you move through those moments of fear and you get to the other side of it and you still, you know, feel your heart beating and the people around you still love you and you're, you know, not dead physically, that fear overcome turns into confidence. You talked about, you know, the courage that it takes, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, to move forward instead of backward in those moments. Those wins turn into courage. Into confidence, right? And if you do that over and over and over again, for me now, when fear shows up, as long as it's physically not going to kill me, and even then, sometimes I push through some of those experiences and doing maybe some more adrenaline-based stuff. But for a lot of people, right, it is one of those things where if you can win that narrative in your head and push through it, no matter what the outcome is, and you get to the other side and you look back, you go, one, oh, well, it wasn't really that bad. And two, you do that over and over and over again, and you start to build this confidence about who you are, right?
Yeah. And look, just like if you wanted tennis, if you wanted to get better at tennis, you get a coach, right? It depends how serious you are. If you're just dabbling for entertainment, you don't need a coach in anything. But if you're like, I want to get better, you get a coach. I think it's the same thing. I think 3-4 months ago, I had 5 different coaches. So if you want to push back your boundaries and you want to lean into those areas that are a bit scary, your mind is pretty good at hiding them from you and finding reasons not to do it. You justify it left, right, and center. But in the light of day, in a conversation with somebody else who's trained to look for it, then it's a bit harder to escape. You'd be like, look, I noticed I'm a bit scared about that. And then you can workshop it and find a way that would be much more fun. Because there are ways to do it. Cold showers are a great metaphor. I've been scared of cold showers for years. Now I'm finally doing it. But I didn't just jump into the shower and go, right, knuckle it. No, you find a way. You find a hack. I get my right arm in first, and then my right leg, and then the other arm, and then another leg, and then it build in, and then it's not so bad. You can do that with life and with the things we're scared of too.
I love it. David, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you today, brother. I've enjoyed the conversation. Guys, we'll include all the links, all the resources, ways of connecting with David. If you guys want to learn more about him and all the amazing work that he does with people, not only in terms of their focus and productivity, but in terms of scaling and growing their business revenue. But if they do want to connect with you, David, where is the best place for them to do that?
Well, I have a gift basket of goodies for listeners.
We love goodies, man.
Yeah. So the first one is a checklist. It's a 2-pager, no, 1-pager that'll cover a lot of what we talked about and some stuff we didn't have time to talk about. And it's designed to help you double your productivity. I've also got a training that was 2 hours, but I boiled it down into a 35-minute summary. And it's on how to double your revenue and your time off over 12 months. And I'll give you access to that too. You can also, it'll give you a link if you want to get on the phone with me and do a 15-minute double your revenue audit. I'm happy to do that with you too. I can identify the low-hanging fruit pretty fast. So all of that is at myfocusgift.com. How can you forget that? Myfocusgift.com, and you can get everything we talked about there.
David Wood, it's been a pleasure, brother. Thank you so much.
Same, Mac. Good to know you.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview. And if you did, all I ask is that you share it with somebody else who maybe needs to hear this today or that could gain some value from something that was talked about or discussed in today's interview. You just never know. One piece of information, a conversation, a tool, a resource can completely transform and change the trajectory of someone's life or their business. So if you get any kind of value or you want to support the show, all we ask is that you help us organically get this in front of more people. Also, for those of you who are really looking to accelerate your wealth building journey and unlock more financial freedom, get more time back, and just level up your life, your business, your finances, be sure to head over to therichlifeacademy.com to check out all the amazing products and resources that we offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family, whether that's one-on-one coaching with me, courses from our guests, all kinds of free content, downloads, checklists, upcoming event info, and how you can connect with us live in person, all kinds of great valuable tools. You can get that over at therichlifeacademy.com. Last but not least, I always want to know, who do you guys want to hear me interview next? Let me know. Shoot me a text at 844-447-1555. With that being said, until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friend.